Parshas in Sefer Bereishis, to a certain degree, are unique in the fact that each parsha contains a large number of seemingly independent events. The Torah is recording the history of humanity as a whole, and Klal Yisrael in particular, and the events that happen in the history of humanity as a whole, and Klal Yisrael in particular, occur with great frequency in the parshas of Bereishis. But it's very interesting that in this week's parsha, even though there are a number of seemingly disconnected events, there seems to be a common theme which is reoccurring through the parsha. The parsha starts off with the pasuk, with the tzivui, with the command that Avraham Avinu receives from the Ribbono Shel Olam of Lech Lecho Me'artzecho U'Mimeladetcho U'Mibeis Avicho. There's a very famous kasha which the world asks on the first pasuk of this week's parsha. The seder, the order in which the pasuk records the tzivui that Avraham Avinu gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, Lech Lecha, that you should leave Artzecha, the land in which you are living, Meiladetcha, your birthplace, and Mibeis Avicha, and your father's home. And the kasha that everybody asks is that in Metzias, when a person leaves, it works in the opposite direction. When a person leaves his home, the first place that he leaves is his home, then he leaves Meiladetcha, the place where he was living, the place where he was born, and then, as he travels, eventually, Meiladetcha, he will leave the country in which he's living. And here the pasuk says it the other way around. The pasuk says Me'artzecho, first mentions the country, then Me'ladetcho, and then Beis Avicho. So the pasuk records the Beis Avicho as being the last place where you're leaving. Whereas in physical terms, when you're leaving a place, the first place that you leave is the place of where you are. So if you're leaving Beis Avicho, the first place that you're leaving is the Beis Avicho. Then you're leaving the Me'ladetcho, and then eventually you will leave the Artzecho. So why does the pasuk say it the other way around? That Avraham Avinu gets the command, leave Artzecha, Me'ladetcha, and Beis Avicha. This kasha, which the entire world asks, and everybody's got different terutzim on it, this kasha is in fact asked, or at least intimated to, in the Medrash on the first pasuk of this week's parsha. First pasuk of this week's parsha, there's a Medrash where the Medrash says that when Rabbi Yitzchok got to this parsha, he used to say, as an introduction or as an explanation to what's going on in the beginning of the parsha, he used to quote a pasuk in Tehillim. The Medrash says that Rabbi Yitzchok used to quote a pasuk in Tehillim. What's the pasuk in Tehillim that he used to quote? So the Medrash says that the pasuk in Tehillim that he used to quote is a pasuk in Perek Mem Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph in Tehillim. Shimi bas urei v'hati oznech, that listen carefully, the Rabbi Shlomo is saying to Klal Yisrael, listen very carefully. Shichichi ameich ubeis avich. Forget ameich and beis avich. Forget your am, the people where you come from, and forget beis avich, forget your father's home. Were the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, if the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha was talking about a tzivui which was purely a physical tzivui, telling Avraham Avinu that you now have to do a physical act, you have to leave where you are and you have to go to Eretz Yisrael, if we're talking about physical movement, then the question would be a good question, because in terms of physical movement, the process is that first you leave Beis Avicha, then you leave Meiladetcha, and then you leave Artzecha. By placing the order the other way around, the Torah is informing us that the tzivoy that Avraham Avinu was receiving was not purely a tzivoy in terms of physically leaving his father's home. The tzivoy was more than that. The tzivoy was a ruchniyistik tzivoy. The tzivoy was that the Ribbono Shel is saying to him, I don't want you just to leave the physical abode, the physical place of living where you were, namely your father's home. I want you to leave that which your father's home represents. I want you to leave that which is the philosophy of your father's home. I want you to leave the hashkofa that you had in your father's home. I want to create here, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Avraham Avinu, a new person. And to create a new person who's going to be the founder of what eventually is going to become Eretz Yisrael, you have to completely leave everything which was your scale of values, everything which was your philosophy of life, everything which to you was important and not important when you are in Beis Avicha. And for a person to change his Hashkafas HaChayim, for a person to change his world outlook, for a person to change his whole philosophy of life, it's easy. The first stage is to change the general philosophy of life that exists in the country where you live. That's easy. That's stage number one. I won't say it's easy. It's also difficult. But it's easier than changing the philosophy of Meiladetcha, the philosophy of the society that you live in. One can change the world outlook, the philosophy of the country that one lives in, easier than one can change the philosophy and the world outlook of the specific society that one lives in within that particular country. And it's easier to leave the philosophy and the world outlook and the Hashkafas HaChayim of the particular society that you live in than it is to leave the Hashkafas HaChayim and the world outlook and the philosophy of the home that you grew up in. Therefore, along comes the Torah, and the Torah says, Lech Lecha. What I want is that, not that you should just physically leave the place where you were, but I want you to leave the philosophy of life of Beis Avicha. And therefore, I understand that it's a difficult process, and therefore says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Avraham Avinu, I'll tell you how to do it. And the way in which you do it is you do it in a process. And the process is, first, Me'altzecha. First get rid of the general Hashkafas HaChayim of the country that you live in. And stage two, Me'meiladetcha. Get rid of the philosophy of the society that you grew up in. And then, Me'beis Avicha, get rid of the philosophy of the very home and the very house that you grew up in. The beginning of the parasha says, Vayema Hashem el Avram lech lecha me'altzecha me'meiladetcha me'beis Avicha el Eretz Ha'ar She'areka. And then the next pasuk says, "Ve'eschol legoy gadol, I will make you into a great nation, ve'avorechecha, and I will bless you, ve'agad l'shemecha, and I will make your name great, ve'heyei brocha, and you will be the source of brachas. You will have the ability to give brachas." And seeing that one pasuk follows the other pasuk, there seems to be a connection between these two pasukim. And Chazal already aimed on what is the connection between these two psukim that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you have to leave Al Tzecha Me'iladetcha Me'beis Avicha in order that you should become a Goy Gadol, that you should become a Mekabel of my Bracha, that I should be able to be a Gadol Shemecha, that you yourself should be a Mevarech. What's the connection between the two? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says the following, that if there is a Gzar Din on a person, if the Ribbono Shel Olam has decreed something upon a person, how do you get rid of the Gzar Din against the person? So in the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak says that there are three things which are kaireya, the Gzar Din of a person. There are three things in which a person can, through these three things, he can get rid of a Gzar Din which the Ribbono Shel Olam is imposing upon him. And these three things are tzedaka, tefillah, and in fact, not more, it's four things. Stoka, Tfila, Shinui Hashem, Vishinui Maisa. Those are the four things which will remove a decree against a person. If he gives sukkah, if he's mispalel, if he changes his name and he changes his actions, and he becomes a new person. The Gemara continues and says, "V'yesha imrim," and some say, "Af shinui mokem," that one of the things that will change the gzal din on a person is shinui mokem, is if a person changes his place. If a person moves from one place to another place, that will change the gzar din that was imposed upon him by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Eshemrim continue and they bring a raya. And they say, what's the raya that Shinui Mokum changes the gzar din on the person? The raya is from Avraham Avinu. In Choron, Avraham Avinu wasn't going to be zeicha to children. But he's promised by the Ribbono Shel Olam that lech lecho mi'altecho mi'ladetcho mi'beis avicho. Then, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Ve'eschol agoy gadol," and then all the brachas which are mentioned in the pasuk will happen to him. In other words, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, there in Eretz Yisrael, you will be zeicha to children. In Aram Naharayim, there was a gezeirah on Avraham Avinu that he will not be able to be meilid children. But in Eretz Yisrael, there was no such gezeirah. Therefore, according to the Yesh Aimrim say that part or one of the components in which a person can change a gzar din that exists on him is by moving from one place to the other place, because the gzar din is for this specific place. In the other place, the gzar din doesn't exist. Rabbi Yitzchok, who doesn't mention this, doesn't believe that it's a raya from Avraham Avinu. Why doesn't Rabbi Yitzchok believe that it's a raya from Avraham Avinu? Because Rabbi Yitzchok says that from Avraham Avinu there's no raya that any shinui mokem will be kerei gzar din. Because Avraham Avinu was going from Aram Naharayim to where? He was going to Eretz Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yitzchok, maybe Eretz Yisrael has a special schus that Eretz Yisrael is kerei the gzar din. But you can't bring a raya from there that moving to any place stam will be kerei the gzar din. But the Yesh Aimrim hold that if you move from place A to place B, it's kerei the gzar din. What's the logic that moving from place A to place B is kereya the gzar din? We already find this concept. This concept exists elsewhere in the Torah. In the Torah we find that for certain averis there is a concept of golus, that a person is sent into golus. We know that Klal Yisrael was sent into golus. What is the theme of golus? What is the point of golus? What is the point of sending Klal Yisrael into exile? What is the point of sending an individual into exile? So Chazal say that golus mechaperes. The golus takes away the gzar din. The golus takes away the einish. Why does golus take away a gzar din? Because seemingly movement from one place to another place will change the destiny of the person. But why is it that movement from one place to another place changes the destiny of a person? So there is a psychological reason. There is a simple, logical, rational, psychological reason. We all know that every time a person moves, or a person changes his situation, he subconsciously, and in fact, even consciously, makes a decision that it's a new start. When you move from a school to a school, from yeshiva to yeshiva, so every time the subconscious feeling is, oh, this time I'm going to try again, this time I'm going to start afresh. In fact, when a person even moves from one apartment to another apartment, he tries to reorganize his life every time. Okay, now we're going to start with a new system. We're in a new apartment, so now things will be different. We're in a new place, things will be different. There is this psychological element that exists by a person that when he's in a new or a different place, things will be different, and therefore he attempts to start and to do things differently. But the question still remains, why is it that when a person moves to a new place or changes to a new place, that he gets this subconscious or conscious feeling, now I have the ability to start again? So again, the obvious answer is because every place where a person is has its influences. The environment affects the person, and very often when we analyze why we act in a certain way, we come to the conclusion that it's the environment that is causing us to act in a certain way. And therefore we say to ourselves, okay, now I'm in a different place. Now I'm in a different school, in a different yeshiva, in a different society, in a different country, in a different apartment. Therefore the environment has changed, and therefore I will be able to start on a new leaf. Now we're able to start differently because the environmental pressures are different environmental pressures. But Chazal, or the Rishonim at least, seem to understand it on a deeper level. And the Rishonim say it's not just simply the feeling that the person has that when he moves to a new place, oh, now I have the opportunity to start over again, or the environment here will maybe be more conducive. The Rishonim understood it differently. And the source for this is a halachadika source. There's a halachadika source which tells us that when a person or an object moves from place to place, something happens. In the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, the Mishnah there, the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, and the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, is talking about the Isa of Hitzah Mirashus L'Rashus, of carrying from one Rashus to another Rashus. And the Isa of Hitzah Rashus L'Rashus, as we know, is one of the Lamed Tes Malachos, which are also on Shabbos. There are 39 malachas which are also on Shabbos. The Isa of Malacha on Shabbos is defined by the Gemara as being an Isa of Meleches Machsheves. What is the definition of Meleches Machsheves? The definition of Meleches Machsheves, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, is a new creation. All the malachas, when you think about the 39 malachas which are also on Shabbos, they are all where you take something in one stage and you do something to it which changes the status of the object, that the object becomes a different object. If you take, for example, the most obvious example, bishul, right? You take a bag of beans, you take a bag of potatoes, you take a bag of A, B, C, D, E, and you throw it into a pot and you heat it up. What's the result?
A chont,
a new metzias. In other words, you started off with metzias A, a metzias which was beans, potatoes, meat, and whatever you're putting in there in order to add taste. And then you've got a completely new chefza. It moved, it changed from a chefza which was beans, potatoes, and whatever else you're adding in, it now became a chefza of chont. When it comes to Hitzah, moving a chair from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, there's a problem. Because when you move a chair from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, it's a given a chair, it's a given a chair. Nothing changed. Lichura. It's the same chair that it was beforehand, which it is now, except it just moved its location. So Tosfos comes along in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, and Tosfos says, and just Shabbos that based on the based over a master pshat, Tosfos says that Malacha of Hitzah is considered to be a Malacha Grua. It's a deficient Malacha. It's a Malacha with a deficiency. What is the deficiency of the Malacha? So Pshat in Tosfos is the following. The deficiency in the halacha is that when it comes to all the other lamed ches malachas, the change that takes place in the chefza is an apparent change, is an obvious change, is a change that we see. It was A and now it's B. It was potatoes, meat and beans and now it's a chont. When it comes to moving a chair from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim and from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, the change in the chefza is not apparent. We don't see it. Because we don't see it, therefore we call it a Malacha Gerua. But the Yesod HaDava, there must be a change. Because if there isn't a change, it wouldn't be a Malacha. Because the definition of Malacha is a Yetzirah Chadasha. Therefore Chazal are coming along and the Torah is coming along and the Torah is saying that if it's also to be Metziah Chayfetz from one Mokum to another Mokum, what is the Torah telling us? That the chair is not the same chair anymore, it's a different chair. When a person is in one place, he is one Chefza. Or Gavra. He's a gavra who's a chetza. When a person is in another place, the gavra is a different type of chetza altogether. It's a different metzias altogether. Therefore, that which was relevant to the person in the first place isn't relevant to the person in the second place. Therefore, obviously, the gzal din goes away. Because it's not beans and potatoes and meat anymore. It's a chont. We find a second event that's told to us in Parshas Lech Lecha. Sarah is upset. She's upset that she hasn't given birth. Avraham Avinu has no children. She comes to Avraham Avinu and she says, "I have a suggestion. Why don't you get married to Hagar?" Hagar was her shivcha. She says, "Why don't you go and get married to Hagar?" And Avraham Avinu initially isn't too happy about it, and Hagar initially isn't too happy about it either. But Torah tells us that Sarah manages to persuade Avraham Avinu, and she manages to persuade Hagar, and Avraham Avinu gets married to Hagar. And Hagar conceives. And Hagar is going to give birth. And the minute that Hagar conceives, she starts acting towards Sarah in a derech bizoyan. "I'm going to have children, you have no children. So who are you to tell me what to do?" And Sarah can't take this. And Sarah complains to Avraham Avinu and she says, "I can't take the way in which Hagar is relating to me." So Avraham Avinu says to Sarah, "Hine shivchascha biyadech, asilo atay bi'enach." Do what you want with her. Vatana Sarah. So what does Sarah do? Sarah decides she's going to get rid of Hagar. But she doesn't want to throw her out. So she starts acting towards her in a harsh manner. And Hagar can't take it. Vativrach mipaneho. And Hagar runs away. And Hagar runs off into the midbar. She runs off into the midbar, and the Torah tells us, Vayimtsa'er malach Hashem. That the malach finds her in the midbar. Vayayimah. And the malach turns around to Hagar, and he asks her a question. He says, "Hagar, who is the shifcha of Sarah, where are you coming from and where are you going to? Eimi zeh basa v'ana telchi. Where are you coming from and where are you going to?" V'atayma, so she answers and she says to the malach, "Mipnei sarai givilti anechi barachas. I'm running away from my mistress, I'm running away from Sarah." V'ayma lo malach Hashem, so the malach says to her, "Shuvi el givirteich. Go back." Says the Sipponai that what was the conversation that went on here between the Malach and between Sarah? And Hagar. Says the Sipponai, what was the conversation that was going on here? What was the Malach saying to her? And what was she saying to the Malach? Says the Sipponai, Klaima. What the pasuk's trying to tell us is that the malach said to Hagar, "Hapiti uri me'eze mokim nosato." Think for a moment, says the malach to Hagar. Where did you leave? Where did you go away from? Ki ayisa b'mokim kodesh b'beis tzadikim. You were in a mokim kodesh. You were in a holy place. You were in a house of a tzadik. And now you're leaving and you're going back to Mitzrayim, El Mokim Tomei V'Anshei Resha. You're going back to a place of Rishayim. You're going back to a place of Tuma. To which Hagar answers, "How can you do this? How can you leave the house of Tzadikim and go to a place of Rishayim, a place of Tuma, a place of Taiva? How can you do this?" So she answers the Malach, and she says, "You're making a mistake. You think that I want to go to Mitzrayim because Mitzrayim is a place of Tumah, Mitzrayim is a place of Resha. You think I don't want to be a Tzaddik, I want to be a Rasha. And therefore you're saying to me, how can you do this? How can you run away from a place of Tzidkus to a place of Resha? Says, oh, no, it's not true. I don't want to go to Mitzrayim. I'm not trying to go to Mitzrayim. That's not what I want to do. Elo yatsasi kidei livroyach. I am running away from Sarah. It's not that I want to go to Mitzrayim. I'm not trying to go to Mitzrayim. All I'm trying to do is to get away from the impossible situation that exists with Sarah. So don't come to a Taina with me that how can you do this? You were in this house of Tzaddikim and now you're going to throw it all up and you're going to go away to a house of Taiva and to a house of Tumah. I'm not going away to a house of Taiva and a house of Tumah. I just have to get away from Sarah, that's all. So what does the Malach respond? The Malach says, Shuvi el Gvirteich, asks the Alt of Kelm, what's the response to the Malach? She just explained to him that she's not trying to run away to Mitzrayim. She's trying to get away from Sarah. So she's explained what her logic is, what the rationale is, and what she's doing. So the Malach says to her, no, go back to Sarah. She says, I can't take it by Sarah. So what's he telling her, go back to Sarah? He hasn't given her any solution to her problem. Says the Alt of Kelm, Amiri Kavortia. The Alt of Kelm says the following. He says, she lived by Avraham Avinu in his house. In the house of Avraham Avinu, Tzidkus wasn't something which was a madrega. In the house of Avraham Avinu, Tzidkus wasn't something which was above the norm, something unique, something special, something which was shayach to individuals but not to the hamoim. The emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam was so clear and strong in the house of Avram that it wasn't shayach that anybody should do the Averis. Because in the house of Avram there was Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi, the Ribbono Shel Olam was there, clearly in front of everybody. The clarity of Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi was so strong in the house of Avram that Sarah and Avram imbued it so strongly in everybody who was part of their household that Hagar also saw clearly in the household of Avram the Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi, and Hagar wasn't shayach to Averis, wasn't shayach to Tumah, wasn't shayach to Taiva in the house of Avram Avinu. And therefore she was convinced that she is totally divorced from Taiva, from Tumah. It can't have any effect on her anymore. Because it didn't play a role. She spent her life in the house, her day, in the house of Avram, and in the house of Avram there was no such thing. Everything was so clear it was impossible for somebody to do an Avera. And therefore she said, I can leave the house of Avram, and wherever I go to, nothing will happen to me, nothing will affect me. Why? Because I am Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi. Says the Malach, you're making a mistake. Says the Malach, in the house of Avram, the reason why everything was so clear and the Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi was so clear, because there was a vicious circle going on, says the Malach, in the house of Avram. The Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi was so clear that you never did an Avera. If you never did an Avera, there's no Timtum Alev. If there's no Timtum Alev, there's total clarity. If there's total clarity, then you Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi. If there's Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Somi, you never do an Avera. If you never do an Avera, there's no Timtum Alev. If there's no Timtum Alev, then you see with absolute clarity. And the whole thing kept on going round in a vicious circle. The minute that you leave the house of Avram, you will be nichshel in some type of Avera. It could perhaps even be a minimal Avera, a tzel shebetzelus of an Avera, a shadow of an Avera. But the minute that you're over on something, there'll be a Timtum Alev. If there'll be a Timtum Alev, then the Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Somit will disappear. And if the Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Somit disappears, then you'll be teeth into Averis, into Chatoim, and into Taiva, and into Tumah. Therefore, if you want to retain that which you achieved in the house of Avraham Avinu, Don't get yourself into a sophic of Tintum Alev. And therefore, the Malach says to her, Shuvi El Gvirtech, go back. It's a hafla of a fella. Says the Alter of Kelm, if so, we can understand another story, which takes place in this week's parsha. The story of Lot. Lot was part and parcel of the household of Avram. He was a Talmid Muvak of Avram. And Rashi says that when Lot and Avram decided that they have to part ways because there was a machlokes between the slaves of Avram, the servants of Avram, the household of Avram, and the household of Lot. They were fighting around about the pasture land. So they decided that one will go in one direction and the other one will go in the other direction. The pasuk says that Vayisa Lot, says Rashi, Hashem Chazal, it's a Medrash Rabbah, Hisia Atzmei Mikadmei Nisharoyim. Vayisa Lot means that Lot went away, traveled away, not only physically, but Lot traveled away from the Ribbei Nisharoyim. Meaning, Amar, he said, Yefshi Lebi Avram Velev Belikov. I don't want to have anything to do with Avram Avinu, I don't want to have anything to do with Ribbei Nisharoyim. Says the out of film, he says, what was the big chet that Lot did that he deteriorated to such a degree that he said, he became an apocryphal, he said, I don't have anything to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't find anywhere in the psukim that it says his household were Ivor and a Chashash Gezel with a longish time that they were right. So what was the terrible thing that he did? Says the Alter from Kelm, I'll tell you what the terrible thing was he did. He left the house of Avraham Avinu. Kol's money was in the house of Avraham Avinu. Then there's the Shivisi Hashem in Negdi Samid. The Emunah is so clear, it's not shy for you to do an Avera. The minute you leave the house of Avraham, the slightest Avera that you do will be Gerim to a Tintum Alev, and singing will be Gerim to a Tintum Alev. Therefore you will not see things clearly anymore. You won't see things clearly anymore. You will be involved in chet. You will be involved in chet and be metzias. You've not only left the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you've not only left Avram, you've left the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Chazal say. Hisia atzmoi, by leaving Avram, by definition, you are leaving the Kadmoni Shel Olam. You are leaving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because lichura, in the parsha of Lot, we find an interesting thing. Lot was a Talmid Muvak of Avraham Avinu. And living in the house of Avraham Avinu, he was totally influenced by Avraham Avinu, because the major avodah of Avraham Avinu, as we all know, was Chesed. And Lot was Mushfa from the Chesed of Avraham Avinu. And it actually expresses itself, seemingly, in the fact that when the Anshei Sdom, as we'll see in the later parshas, come and besiege the house of Lot, because he had the chutzpah, as far as they were concerned, to take guests into his house, he is willing to go to Mesiras Nefesh to protect those guests. Even in Sdom, which is the ultimate antithesis of what Avraham Avinu stood for, and the whole philosophy of chesed of Avraham Avinu, Lot continues to be a goyimul chesed to the degree of Mesiras Nefesh. And the actual fact that Lot decided to go to Sdom in itself constitutes a major problem. How come that this person, who was so influenced by Avraham Avinu that he had the lichura, the entire philosophy of Avraham Avinu of chesed, is willing to go to a place which is the antithesis of chesed? How did he put it together in his mind? How did he rationalize what he was doing? So lichura, one has to assume that Lot was of the opinion that the education that he'd received in the house of Avraham was such that he wouldn't be affected by stoim. And on the contrary, perhaps he'd even be able to make care of them. Perhaps he'd even be able to do something there if he went. He was convinced that nothing would happen to him. Ravan Kotler points out an interesting thing. He says, Lot was the ultimate Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Received the Midas HaChesed of Avraham Avinu. Is totally confident and convinced that he has it. He leaves Avraham Avinu. He goes to Sodom. What happens? Even in the Midas HaChesed, says Rabban, his Midas HaChesed changes. And Rabban says, America Diuk. He says, it was also to do Chesed in Sodom. So he couldn't do Chesed publicly. He couldn't take people in by day. It all had to be done by night secretly. What did Avraham Avinu do? Sat out in the open in the middle of the day, outside his tent, waiting, looking for people to come. Says Rabban, look at how the Midas HaChesed of Lot changed the minute that he came to Sodom, not through his own fault. But it had to change. Why did it have to change? Because he couldn't do the same Chesed. How come he wasn't Meisa Nefesh for that? How come he was only Meisa Nefesh when he took the people into his house and the people of Sodom besieged the house? Then he was willing to be Meisa Nefesh. How come he wasn't Meisa Nefesh? He didn't say, you don't allow me to bring guests in? I'm going to be Meisa Nefesh. And I'm going to bring guests in. Al-Abchem Gal-Chamoschem, whether you like it or not. Says Reb Aaron, because there are two things. There is an Ish Chesed, and there is a Baal Chesed. An Ish Chesed is a person who is totally into Chesed. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was totally into Chesed. And the definition of being totally into Chesed says, of being an Ish Chesed, says Reb Aaron, is because your entire orientation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, is Chesed, then you're an Ish Chesed. But that means that you changed your whole Metzius, that you changed your whole Chetza, that you changed your whole being into a being of an Ish Chesed. Lot didn't realize that that hadn't happened to him yet. Lot Taka was a Talmud movement of Avraham, but it doesn't happen overnight. You don't change your whole Chetza overnight. Therefore, by Lot, the Chesed was still something external. It wasn't an integral part of his being. If it wasn't an integral part of his being, the minute he leaves the house of Avraham, then the Chesed is just a lower darga of Chesed. But he's not Machnis Elchim during the day. If you're not Machnis Elchim during the day, there's a Tzel Tzilusa there, there's a shadow there of Chet. The shadow of Chet is Metam Temelev, boom! Then you're finished. There's a Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Omer Rabbi Yasi ben Kisma said, Pam achas oyisi mahalech. I was once going on the way upoga bi odem echod, and a man met me. V'noson li shalem, he gave me shalom aleichem, v'echzati lo shalem, and I gave him back shalom aleichem. Says Reb Leib Gurevitz that it says in Pirkei Ovis, have a makdim shalom lekol odom, that you should be particular to greet everybody you see. And says Reb Leib Gurevitz that they used to say about the Chofetz Chaim that it never happened in the history of the lifetime of the Chofetz Chaim that anybody managed to say Shalom Aleichem to him before he managed to say Shalom Aleichem to the person. He was makpid on this Mishnah of having makdim Shalom lekol Adam. And if the Chofetz Chaim was makpid about it, says Reb Leib Gurevitz, then Reb Yosi ben Kisma was obviously makpid about it. And yet we find that the Mishnah says, the Yevesi ben Kisna says, Paramachas ayisim ahalech upoge biyodem echad v'nosan li shalom. So the guy managed to say shalom aleichem before Yevesi ben Kisna said to him shalom aleichem. So who are you talking about here? You're talking about the Chofetz Chaim here. You're talking about a great man. And what did the man say to him? This wasn't a Piskun Katlakanya, this wasn't some peasant here. This was an ungodl who met Reb Yosi ben Kisma. This was a tzaddik. This was an ish kaddish. This was an ish chassid. And what does he say to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma? He says to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Rabbi Me'ezim Makimata, where are you from? Amalti Lais, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says to him, Me'il Gedoyle Shal Hachomim Veshal Seifrim Ani, I am from a city of Hachomim and Seifrim. Amali, so the man says to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Ritzchayim Tzcha Shetodo Imanu Bimkaimenu, come and live in my city. Vani Etin Lecha Elef Alofim Din Rezov, I'll give you millions of dollars if you come and live by us. Vyavodim Toivim, and I'll give you diamonds, and Margolias, and I'll give you precious stones, I'll give you whatever you want. Come to our city. A mountainous Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says, I responded and I said, you can give me the entire wealth that exists in the entire world. I'm only going to live in a place of Torah in my town, whether a Chachamim or whether a Seifrim. And he says, and David HaMelech already said, he says, in all of Shas, when the Gemara brings a story about people, the Gemara always mentions the name of the person. And if the Gemara doesn't mention the name of the person, at least the Gemara says, the Maisa b'chassid echad. There's a story with a chassid, with a tzaddik, right? Here it doesn't say anything at all. Here it just says, Maisa b'adam, or here it just says, v'paga by adam echad. Doesn't mention his name, doesn't give him any tayar of covered, and Lichura, he was a great man. He was a great man, as we said, as Rabbi Gurid said, because he was Magdim Shalom, and Rabbi Paschal says he was a great man because he was willing to give away millions of dollars to turn his city into a city of Torah. That's a great man. Not every person is willing to give away millions of dollars that they should open up a Kedel Yeshiva and Makom Torah in his city. This man was willing to do it. So why is the Mishnah derogatory about him? Other method. Peasant. Why? Says Rav Chaskel, Advaldik Avot. Says Rav Chaskel, if this guy was really a Chassid Echad, if this guy was really a Gadol, if this guy was a person who Avos HaTorah and Avedus Hashem was burning inside him, when he heard that Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma lived in a place where there are Chachamim and Seifrim, when he heard that Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma is living in such a Makom Torah, why didn't he say, Rebbe, I want to come with you. I also want to go and live in a Makom Torah. Why did he say to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, you come but to me and turn my place into a Makom Torah? Says Rabbi Chaskel, you know why? Because his business was in the place where he was living. And he didn't want to leave his business. Yeah. I want it should be a Makom Torah, I want it should be Chacholim, I want it should be Seifrim, but I don't want to give up my business for it. Says Rav Chaskel, idiot! You've got millions of dollars! You can afford to give away millions of dollars! If you can afford to give away millions of dollars, you've obviously got millions of dollars in the bank! So what do you have to be carry on with your business for? Go to the Makom Torah! Says Rav Chaskel, the raya is, he was treif, this guy. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't give him any description of covered. So I just want to add on one thing to what Rav Chaskel says. The Mefarshim ask on the Mishnah, why didn't Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma take the money and go to where the guy lives and turn the guy's city into a place of Chachamim and Seifrim? It's a big thing, no? Kiruv! Open up an outreach center. He's offering him millions of dollars. Bring a kailo, bring a yeshiva, open up and turn the guy's place into a Makom Torah. Before Shem ask it, it's an Isaac Kasha. I kind of the Teretz is poshet. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, Kozman, that I'm living in a place which is a place Mole Chachomim v'Seifrim. Kozman, that I'm living in a place which is a place of Makom Torah. Everything is clear to me. It's clear to me. It's that guy. He's a guy who money means something to him. Business means something to him. Yeah, that's to be a goal, that's to be a shiva and that. But I still got to make money. So if Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, I'll be there one day. I'll forget about the Tevli Teres, I'll turn out like him. Because that's the hashpah of a makam. There's a miracle limud here, Lamaisa, in this week's parsha. What the hashpah of a makam is. Kozman, a person is in a makam of Chachomim and Seifrim, he's protected.
The problem is that because he's protected in the makom of Chachamim and Seferim, he thinks to himself, I'm okay. Therefore I can leave the makom of Chachamim and Seferim. The guy sits and learns in the Beis HaMedrash. He learns for a day, he learns for 2 days. Some guys even learn Pachasi Yosef for his Dorim. But I've got to go out. Thursday, Friday, leave me alone. I've got to chill out. Because I can't learn unless I chill out. There's this American musab of chilling out. Right? Otherwise known as Tumah and Taiva. Right? Chazal had a different name for it. Chazal called it Tumah and Taiva. The American society calls it chilling out. And why does one have, why does one do it? One does it because one says, I'm fine. I'm fine because I've been learning. All right, I've been learning the whole week. See, if I'm learning the whole week, I deserve to be able to chill out. Says the Torah, tipish. The only reason why you survived is because you were in a makom Torah, and therefore it's Shuvi Seshem and Negdi Somed. But the minute you go out of that makom Torah, what's going to happen? Yeah, initially you're not going to do any great averus. Nothing at all. It's going to be a dover kalmai, but it's going to be mutamtam eleven. It's mutamtam eleven. You won't see anything at all. And you come back after the Thursday and the Friday, and it's all finished. And then you start from scratch again. And then you spend 4 years in yeshiva, and you turn around and say, how come nothing happened? How come I'm not getting anywhere? How come I'm the same mushkas as I was in the beginning? How come I'm the same bal hashkafas treif as I was in the beginning? How come nothing changed? Nothing changed because you kept on starting all over again. You were never steiging. Because there is no such thing as leaving a makom Torah. Because the minute you leave a makom Torah, everything falls apart. V'asher alkein. Seeing that this is one of the inyonim, which we're nishul in time and time again, we're going to have to be mechazakit. And therefore, I am now telling everybody who's here, and everybody who's here has to tell everybody who's not here. As of Kabbalah's Shabbos tonight, I personally am not allowing any bocher in the yeshiva to leave the yeshiva for the coming week. And anybody who has to leave, either because he has a so-called chavrusa outside the yeshiva, has to come to me personally and ask me rishus to leave. And anybody who has any other so-called wacko reason that he has to leave the yeshiva until the coming Friday, has to come to me personally and ask me permission to leave. And leaving the yeshiva means leaving the Beis HaMedrash. And anybody who wants to leave the Beis HaMedrash in any of the storim the coming week has to ask me. And anybody who is not willing to accept this upon themselves should make the decision now, because I personally will remove from the yeshiva any individual who leaves the Beis HaMedrash in the coming week until next Friday morning without any exception whatsoever. Rabbi Lopian is leaving on Motzi Shabbos, and I have a free hand. And I can do the heck what I like, and I will do. And I will not take any phone calls from Rabbi Lopian, and I will totally ignore any claims, desires, tachnunim on his part. I don't care who it is. Any individual who, until next Friday, leaves the yeshiva without personal permission from me, I will personally remove him from the yeshiva. Thank you.